Sorry, I've got to switch myself on.
Done it. I got so much grief last time I led because I didn't switch it on properly. Welcome to everybody to the service this morning. As usual, our highly trained baristas will be available after the service to serve you with tea and coffee. You can ask for whatever you like, but you'll get either decaf or caffeinated. just one small message. Now we've had the whole sound system done, there are some amplifiers that used to be on the stage which have been up in a cupboard doing nothing for the last 12 months near enough, and they're there and they are going to be disposed of unless they, if they belong to somebody, go and take them. But if they're still there in 2 weeks' time, they'll be fair game for disposal. So that's just sort of final warning, if you like. Yeah, so that's that, basically. So, this morning, Nathan is preaching on whether worldly influences affect your joy. And strangely, I couldn't find that many songs which did that, but I have chosen songs that basically focus on Jesus and our relationship with him. But before that, can we just open in prayer? Lord, we thank you for bringing us all together, Lord, to praise and worship you and to fellowship and to hear your word through Nathan, Lord. And we pray that we'll be able to leave any of the worldly stuff behind, Lord, and concentrate just on you. We ask this in your name. Amen. So before we get started, we need to do the birthday box. Are there any birthdays amongst the youngsters, the youngsters in the church?
It's Emily.
Oh, Emily Cowan. Oh, would you like to come up and see if there's a... No? Are there any other birthdays? Oh, one in the back there. Would you like to come up? No. There's a football available. And Ricky, did you say? Oh, Ricky. Oh, he's not there.
Oh, he is.
Oh, he is. Hiding. Right. Okay, well, we will sing happy birthday to all those whom it affects. Okay, I've chosen as a scripture this morning that well-known Psalm 103. You probably don't really need to words, but okay, Psalm 103, for the first six verses. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. Amen. So let's join together in praise to the Lord, and we'll start with power in the blood. Sorry, I've got to switch myself off, otherwise everything goes. Power in the blood.
can't talk and play. We'll just play, we'll just sing through the first verse again.
Oh,
But before we ask Nathan to come in, bless us with his word, just sing a final song, All to Jesus, I Surrender.
Jesus, I surrender. Please do take your seats. Thank you so much, worship team. Ian and the team for leading us in worship this morning. And good morning to you all. Can you hear me okay? Yeah? Good. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this day that you have made. And we thank you so much for this wonderful, intimate time of worship, that from our hearts we want to express to you our thanks, our praise to your name, and the worship that comes from our hearts, because you are deserving of all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. It all belongs to you. You are the King of glory. And Lord, as your people, we stand in need of you, more of your presence, more of your love, your grace, more of your wisdom, so that we can live each day, each and every day, acknowledging you. So, Lord, we pray as we feast on your holy word now, that you would speak to each and every one of us. May you open our hearts, open our spiritual ears, that we may hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we'll be careful to give you all the glory, because it all belongs to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to call your attention to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8. And we are going to commence reading from verse number 8. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 8. And it reads like this. So, verse number 8. I'll give them a moment to get it on the screen. I want you to get this one. There we go. Verse number 8. And it reads like this. So there was great joy in that city. There was great joy in that city. I want us to contextualize this and say, there is great joy in Sittingbourne. Would you say that with me? There is great joy in Sittingbourne. But look at the very next verse. Remember now, there was great joy in the city of Samaria. Great joy in Sittingbourne. But look what the next verse has to say. Now for some time, a man named Simon, can we say Simon? Simon. Had practiced sorcery in that city, in the city of Samaria. And he amazed all the people of Samaria. And he boasted that he was someone great. Now remember, verse 8 says there was great, what? Joy in the city. There's great joy in Sittingbourne. But verse 9 says there was a man called Simon. And he went about the city of Samaria doing what? Practicing sorcery, magic in that city. And he boasted that he was someone great. And in verse 10 says, and all the people, now remember, there was great joy in the city. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, this man is rightly called the great power of God. And they followed him, verse 11 says, because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. But, can the church say but? But when they believed, not Simon anymore, not the wizardry and the sorcery and the magic, but now the people of Samaria believed what Philip, a deacon of the church, had to say about Jesus. Look what it says. When they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of magic. No. The good news of sorcery. But he proclaimed what? The good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. And look what happens. They were baptized, both men and women. But it gets even better, church. Look what happens in verse number 13. Simon, the magician, Simon himself believed. Ah, isn't that good? And he was baptized. And he began to follow the deacon Philip around, astonished by the great signs and miracles that he saw. I want to pause there. There was great joy in the city. By way of introduction this morning, I want to ask a round of trivial questions, and I don't want you to answer out loud, but I want you to ponder the questions in your heart. What is the difference, church, between an orange from Sainsbury's and an orange from Tesco's? What is the difference? What is the difference between a carrier bag from Sainsbury's and a carrier bag from Lidl? Here's another one. What is the difference between a man or a woman, a boy or girl, who owns an Android smartphone or one who owns an Apple iPhone smartphone? Terry says there's a lot. Any Android users in the house? Yeah. I think they'll have something to say about what you just had to say. Here's another one. What is the difference, friends, between a BP petrol station? Anyone ever been to BP before? What is the difference between a BP petrol station and an Esso petrol station? Of course, the answer to them all is not much. They all do the same thing. They all have the same purpose. They just have perhaps different packaging, different logo, and a slightly different way of doing things. Maybe in the case of the orange, maybe a slightly different price, depending on which supermarket you go to. But my next question is crucial. Although there's not much difference between an orange from Sainsbury's, an orange from Tesco's, although there's not much difference from the variety of different petrol stations that we can stop at to refuel our cars, although perhaps there's not much difference, although Terry has something else to say about it, between an iPhone and an Android phone. But the question that I want us to grapple with today, before we go home, is simply this. What is the difference between a Christian and someone who does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? What is the difference between someone who espouses that they have faith and confidence and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, and they exclaim him to be the Lord of their lives? They confess him as Lord. They confess him as Savior. What is the difference between that man or woman and one in the world who does not yet know the power of God through Jesus Christ for themselves? And Jesus lets us know, church, that there should be a difference. Jesus was very clear to his disciples that there should be a precise difference and a contrast between someone who says they are a child of God, a son or daughter of the light, versus one who is still bound by darkness. Jesus says there ought to be a difference between a soul who loves Jesus versus a soul who has not yet come to the knowledge of him for themselves. And Jesus put it this way in John chapter 13. He says, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." So number one, what makes the Christian distinct from those in the world? We should have a good understanding of the love of God between ourselves and God, but also between each other. Because we can't say that we're Christian and we hate our brother and our sister. We can't stand our brother or sister. We can't say we love God and we're part of a church, but there is division amongst the church because one section don't like the other section, the older section don't like the younger section. But yet still we claim to love God. That just does not make sense. There ought to be a clear distinction between the child of God versus one who has not yet come to know Jesus for themselves. But not only does Jesus say there should be a distinction because we love one another, by this is the sign that you are my disciples if you love one another. But he also goes on to say in chapter 14, the very next chapter, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Ah, this is deep. Because it's one thing to say I love you. It's one thing to sing, as we've been singing about this morning, that we love him, that he's worthy to be praised, that we give you all the glory, we're desperate for you. That's great. But Jesus challenges us that if we truly love him, then there should be a desire within us to obey, to submit to his rule and to his authority. It's just like the dog who's out in the park. And when I was a kid and used to play football in the park with my friends, whenever we saw a dog that was not on the leash, we always knew that we had to pick up the ball. Because a dog who is with their owner and who is not on the leash and sees a ball being kicked around a park, that dog's attention, although they are with their owner, although they have come with their owner to the park, although they have a relationship with their owner in the park, if they are off their leash and they see the ball being kicked to and fro, then their attention will go from the owner to the ball. And that dog will go chasing after the ball that's being kicked around. So it is with us at times. We have a relationship with our owner, our great Heavenly Father. And we have a connection to him. But at times we go astray. We lose focus, spiritual focus, and we take our eyes off our owner and we become distracted by the vices of the world. Such was the case right here in the scene of our text. Samaria was an interesting city, church, because Samaria, although it was known to have a devotion to God our Father, this was not a region that had polytheism, the belief in many gods. This was not a region that had demonic activity. This was not a region that had false idol worship in Samaria. They didn't struggle with any of those things. But right here in chapter 8, we're introduced to a man named Simon, who was going around the city of Samaria practicing sorcery. And his job was to amaze the people, to inspire the people, to draw their attention away from God and to put it on him. And as he would perform his magic tricks, men and women in the city were amazed by his skill. They were taken away by what he could do as a magician. And as a result, many exclaimed him to be a great man of God. And the reality, church, is even today in our society, many are drawn away from the focus on God because of the many distractions in this world. That is a cheap counterfeit to the real thing that is God. Many today will not believe in Jesus, but will believe that you can change your name to say you're no longer a man or a woman, but you can call yourself a cat or a dog. Many will believe that instead of believe the truth through Jesus. Why? Because there's competing voices in the world, vying for people's attention, vying for people's hearts, vying for people to hearken their hearts to what they espouse to be truth in their own eyes. So all of this is going on in the city of Samaria, and all of this is going on in our day and time. Great controversies, many exclaiming to be even people of God, false prophets going out into the world, claiming to be of God, but they really are not genuine. But yet still, I love this, there was a deacon. Thank God for the deacons. There was a deacon of the Lord's church who, despite his Jewish background, was willing to go into a territory called Samaria. Although the Jews and the Samaritans had no dealings, he went into the city of Samaria to proclaim the good news, not of sorcery, but to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. And I'm here to encourage us here this morning that despite what you see going on around you in the world today, despite the noise, despite the chaos, I thank God that there is still a remnant in the earth who is lifting up the truth of the gospel, proclaiming the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And despite the competing, the noise, vying for people's attention, I'm so glad that there is still joy in the city. There is still joy in Sittingbourne. Although the whole town does not believe in him yet, I'm so glad that there's some Christians in Sittingbourne, that there's some churches in Sittingbourne that are proclaiming the good news of the gospel. Amen. Hallelujah. So the situation, will this town, just like Samaria, will it be Samaria of Simon or Samaria of Christ? Will Sittingbourne be Sittingbourne of the competing voices, or will it be Sittingbourne of Christ? There was great joy in the city, but there was also this competing voice through the lenses of Simon that was teaching magic and sorcery in the city. But number two, not only do we see that will this town be Samaria or Christ, will Sittingbourne be Samaria, will it be Sittingbourne or Christ, but the problem we see here in the text is that Philip, when he believed in the message, when Simon believed in the message, Simon wanted the benefits of Christ without obedience to Christ. Do you know that it's believed that if you were to take a shark out of the ocean and you place that shark in an aquarium, in the confinements of an aquarium, that shark, although it has the potential to grow to a large scale in size, but because that shark is in a new environment, in an aquarium, the growth capacity of the shark can be drastically halved. Why? Because of its environment. And so it is with us, church. Could it be that we are not seeing spiritual growth in our own lives because we want the benefits of Christ without obedience to Christ? In Acts 13, it says, Simon believed in what Philip preached, and he was baptized. But then it says, he went on to follow Philip around, and when he saw that the apostles had come from Jerusalem, laid hands on the new believers, and they received the Holy Spirit, Simon says, wow, I want this power. Let me buy this gift. How much will it cost for me, like you, Peter, to lay hands on people and they receive the Holy Spirit? How much would it cost to buy this gift that I can now go around and make money and say, receive the Holy Spirit, and I can fill my coffers? He believed on Christ. But as of yet, there was no inward transformation in his heart. Can I lovingly encourage us, church? The Lord Jesus Christ has not just called us to be Christians, but he's called us to be disciples. There's a big difference. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 28, he commissioned his disciples not to make Christians, but he commissioned his disciples to go and make more disciples. And what is a disciple? A disciple is one who is a student and a follower of their teacher. So in order to be a disciple, number one, you need a teacher and you need teaching. But if we are not following the teacher or the teaching, then we will be halted in our spiritual growth and our maturity. It's one thing to believe like Simon. It's one thing even to go and get baptized like Simon. But it's another thing to say, I don't just believe, I don't just want to be baptized, but now I want to commit my entire life to the cause of Jesus Christ. That is the challenge that we all face in our everyday lives. Commitment. Obedience to the will of the Messiah. And the challenge is, just like that dog that loses focus and goes chasing after the ball, we live in a world where there are many distractions. And even as Christians, we can take our eyes off Christ and go looking to the left and to the right, looking at the attractions in the world, and yes, even taking on board the teachings in the world. We got to be careful. Our teacher and our guide is not what the politicians say. But our teacher and our guide is what Jesus has to say through his word. Amen. So his spiritual growth was halted because he was still, although he believed and he was baptized, he still had his mind on, how can I make some money out of the gift? I want to be like the apostles, not replicating their obedience to Christ, but I'm just attracted to what they can do. I'm not interested in obeying Christ, but I like what I can get from Christ. Can I say, church, being a Christian is so much more than saying, I just want to go to heaven. Yeah, that's great. And heaven is promised to us. But being a Christian is not just living in anticipation of what's to come, but it's experiencing the joy of heaven here on earth right now. The kingdom of God now. Every day. We can experience the joy of God's kingdom even today. So finally, not only do we see Samaria versus Simon the sorcerer, Sitting Bourne versus the systems of this age that Paul talks about, the competing values of the world versus Christ. But finally, I want to come back to my question that I raised at the start. What is the difference between a Christian and someone in the world? What is the difference between a follower of Jesus versus someone who does not yet believe? The Apostle Paul, he understood this concept very well. And when he penned these words to the church in Rome, he said, the kingdom of God is not meat or drink. It's not just a matter of filling our guts. It's not just about consumerism. But he goes on to say, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. When the systems of this world wants to point us in the direction that is tailored towards the pursuit of riches and wealth to gain peace and joy. When the trajectory of the world is seemingly geared towards happiness based on what we have and what we own, the kingdom of God looks a whole lot different. The kingdom of God teaches us that through a relationship with God, through Jesus Christ, then although we may not have all the riches in this land, we can still say, I am rich in my soul. Not because of the money that I have in the bank, but because my soul is at peace with God. My sins have been forgiven. I have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I am a new identity. I have been born again, born of the water and of the Spirit. The kingdom of God is not about what I can get, but the kingdom of God is all about how I can serve. How I can play my part, just like the deacon Philip, to share God's love, to share his truth, and yes, to share the good news of the gospel. In closing, I just want to read the words of Peter in response to Simon the sorcerer. He says, and this is a strong rebuke, may your money be destroyed with you for thinking that you can buy God's gift. You can have no part in this, for your heart is not right with God. Now remember, this was a man who believed and was baptized. This was not a man who had no exposure to Jesus. His heart was not right with God. Look what he goes on to say. Repent! Turn from your wicked ways and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive your evil thoughts. For I can see that you are full of bitter jealousy and are held captive by sin. And look what Simon had to say in response. Pray to the Lord for me, Peter, that these terrible things that you've said won't happen to me. Simon's story teaches us, church, that it's possible to know Jesus, to know of him, but yet still our hearts cannot be right with God. Simon was still thinking through the lenses of a magician rather than thinking through the lenses of grace. I believe this is a sobering reality for us as the children of God, that regardless of what stage we're at in the faith, whether we've been serving him for years or whether we've just started, it's not just about believing, going to church. That's great. But it's about walking in step with him. A life of obedience. A life living in step and in tune with the Holy Spirit. No one can point the finger at you to judge how you're doing on the journey or how I'm doing. But I do believe that we have to look within our own hearts and assess within our own lives to see how we are doing on this journey of faith. Have we turned away because of the competing voices and values of this world? Have we gone away looking for that ball like the stray dog? The good news is that we can repent, as Peter says, and we can turn back to our owner. And we can go back to him and have that fruitful relationship that he desires for us to have. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, this is a challenging word for your church. It's one thing to believe that you are Lord, but it's another thing to live like you are Lord. Father, this year, in our vision of spiritual growth, we don't just want to have church, but we want to be the church. So would you forgive us, Lord? Forgive us of the times where we've strayed away. Forgive us when we have gone looking for that stray ball. Forgive us when we have allowed worldly influences to contaminate our walk with you. Lord, would we allow this story of Simon the sorcerer to give us that caution that yes, we can be a baptized believer and still not be right with you. That is sobering. And that goes for myself as well. Lord, would you forgive us? Would you cleanse us from all unrighteousness? We don't just want to continue to go throughout this year calling on your name when those sobering words from Jesus says, yes, you called on my name, but depart from me. I never knew you. Many will call on his name and do many miracles and signs and wonders, but yet still the call will be, depart from me. Oh Lord, we don't want that ever to be the case for us. So may this year be a year of spiritual growth. We don't want to be contained like the shark in the aquarium, contained by this world. But Father, we want to grow in the wisdom and in the knowledge of Jesus to a closer walk with him. Day by day, growing in faith, growing in obedience, growing as a disciple of the Lord Jesus. So Father, we earnestly ask now that this year will be a year like no other, a year of spiritual growth, maturity, and wisdom growing in him. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The worship team are coming back. And I want to make a call to discipleship this morning. just in case there's anyone who's not yet started on the journey. I know this message was really for those who are already on the journey, but the Lord Jesus Christ wants to have a relationship with you today. And if you've not yet come to know him, today's a great opportunity. If you want to know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, today you can know him. He's that owner that wants to have a close and a near walk with his disciple. Is there one today that wants to know Jesus? Would you raise your hand in faith? Would there be one that wants to know? You want to? Oh, praise God. Let's clap our hands. Amen. Praise God. Remind me of your name. Sarah. Sarah. Oh, God bless you, Sarah. Amen. Heaven rejoices over one that turns to the Lord. And we rejoice with you. Amen. We rejoice with you. We rejoice with you. Sarah, I want to pray for you now. And we're all going to pray as a church family for you. So let's pray. Let's pray for Sarah. Father, we thank you so much that Sarah wants to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your word says that we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. All of us were born with this great big problem, this problem in our view, sin, transgression, that leads, yes, to death. But we thank you that's not how the story ends. Because although the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. And thank you that when we believe in Jesus Christ, in the death, burial, and the resurrection, then we no longer have to be bound by the consequences of death and separation. So Father, I pray now for Sarah, that as she opens her heart to you, that you will fill her with your love, that you will forgive her of her sins, and that the Holy Spirit will come in now and take full control of her life. That now she's changing dancing partners. She's no longer dancing for the world anymore. But now Jesus Christ is her Lord and her Savior. So we thank you for her now as she has accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and her Savior. And we rejoice with her now. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Yes, I saw that.
is well.
It is well.
With my soul.
With my soul.
It is well. It is well. With my soul. My soul is well. With my soul. It is well. The world's beloved has a
It's well with our soul. As we go throughout the course of this week, let us keep that word in our hearts, that we are called to be the light of the world, not to allow the influence of the world to sabotage our spiritual growth. Amen. Let us make a difference in the world. The world doesn't lead us, you know. We're called to transform this world into the likeness of Christ. So let us go and be just like Deacon Philip, sharing the good news of the kingdom of God, because this world needs Jesus. Amen. This world needs Jesus. Please do join us for teas and coffees in the church lounge. And just a reminder, our evening service is this evening at 6:30. It's also communion. So if you want to come back for communion, it will be good to see you this evening. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for this time of worship. And we thank you again for your word and the encouragement and challenge in your word, that you have called us to make a difference in this world. And we do pray as we go throughout the course of this week that you will give us opportunities, just like Philip, to share your love, to shine bright for Jesus, that all may see what you are doing in us, and not to point to ourselves, but that our lives would point to the way of Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that we would not be contained or swayed, or our influence will be so strong that it will be taken away from you. We pray, Lord, that our focus and our attention will be on the Lord Jesus Christ. So dismiss us now from this place, but never from your presence until we meet again. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. 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 We thank God for Sarah. Amen. Praise God. Giving her life to Christ. Amen. Praise God.